What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There was a special meeting had yesterday by the New Orleans City Council relative to transparency during the Hurricane Francine event. And joining us to talk about it, J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large. J.P., welcome to the show.
Thanks. No, thanks for having me.
J.P., I know that there were a number of concerns articulated in the immediate aftermath of the storm that you guys wanted to get to the bottom of, and yesterday's meeting was about that. What were the results?
Well, I mean, I think we were able to really give some needed direction to the Office of Homeland Security. Colin's been really great there. NOLA Ready, 300,000, over 300,000 people subscribe to it. There needs to be a single point of contact to disseminate all information, whether it be massive energy issues, whether it be pumps going out, whether it be sewer challenges. There needs to be a central point of information. That information needs to be flowing very freely and very quickly. And to Collins, credit Colin Arnold's over at Homeland Security, he said that's something that they can do. And that was really the first step. The second thing was really drilling in with energy as far as what their assessment process is and how they're assessing damage effects getting power is on. We also got a lot of information from businesses in particular who had not lost power during the event, but then without notice had their power cut off to do additional repairs and had lengthy delays getting power back on in that repair period with no communication. And as you know, Newell, as a business, if you come in the day after a flood hurricane event and you open up ready to go and without notice your power gets cut off for 24 hours, that's devastating. And we had a testimony from an individual with a cupcake shop on Bayou Road who literally went from thinking she could get back in to sell product to losing power after she had power and having to throw a product away. And that's not acceptable, and energy has to do better. Sewage and Water Board, I mean, they had a lot of challenges. Once again, similar to the Mylar balloon fiasco, they struggled to communicate to the public and the council with those challenges, and we're over that. And we told them that at this point, we've given you all, I think everyone's grace has run out. If things are happening in real time, you could tell people, and we really kind of pointed to Cynthia Lee Shang and Jefferson Parish as the gold standard. When the pumps in Jefferson were having issues, she just told people that. And I said that we are a population of adults. You have to give us information in real time to make adult decisions. You're not our parents who need to withhold information from us because it's in our best interest. You don't have that authority. You don't have that right. And they say they heard the message loud and clear, but I'm working with Councilmember DeRusso. We're going to tighten up language and make sure that they do submit information to the proper authorities, to the public, as quickly as possible.
And I don't remember who said this, but I was listening to part of the meeting. Someone was having difficulty in understanding the benefit to the public of providing this information real time. Do you recall that conversation?
It was actually... the head of Homeland Security, Colin Arnold, said that we don't know what the benefit is of telling them that pump X is out. And Joe DeRusso completely lost his mind, and rightfully so, when that comment was made.
Well, I just make the following observation, right? I mean, we started getting texts at WWL Radio, Tommy Tucker and I, about water rising in certain neighborhoods. I want to say it was at Carrollton and something. I can't remember the cross street. And then the television news obviously sent somebody out there, and we started seeing the water rise, right? Well, had that information been put out on NOLA Ready or otherwise, people could have moved their cars. I mean, you know, you're talking about $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 investments that are made. You know, they could have taken some evasive action if they heard, well, the pump, and this is the area that we think is going to be impacted first, because we actually know that. They know that, right? When a pumping station goes out, this is the lowest lying area. We know what's going to happen. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. And to your point, Councilman Druso said exactly that. He said that when the water was rising in Lakeview, he had his council car there, and he said that had they told me that the pumps were malfunctioning, that's a city asset. That is a city vehicle that if it gets destroyed, that's city property. He goes, I would have moved it up further on my driveway or on my lawn, because that's what you do when you have the information. When you have the information, you make smart decisions. When you withhold the information because you don't want to cause panic, well, it doesn't make the water go down. And Newell, just like everyone in the city has a lot of historic knowledge of their own experiences with hurricanes. They know which areas are prone to flooding. They know what the challenges are. If you give them the information, you just have to give them the ability to go ahead and make those smart decisions for themselves.
I wonder, JP, and I don't know how it works in Orleans, but it would seem to me that if we had an adequately sized, and y'all may have one, emergency operations center, that you are granting right-of-ways and franchise agreements for city-owned property to any number of the utilities, that there's a requirement, and we put the infrastructure in place, whether it be fiber, level of redundancy with microwave, whatever it takes, to be able to be co-located in one area where we have access to everybody's systems as to where the whole picture, you know, that's being painted by the challenge of a storm is revealing itself real time. Because unless and until we get to that point, this continues to be a communication breakdown system, right? I mean, even through our best efforts.
We have that. There is a central operational hub with Homeland Security. Honestly, the real benefit, I mean, the crime camera situation we had for years was a bust, but the real-time crime cameras that aren't great, the older ones that Nagin put in that aren't great for crime, they actually do a really good job of monitoring intersections during events. So, I mean, there is a whole centralized hub, a centralized command center.
This but all the utilities are hooked up to their systems from there. They can
Entergy has people in the room with communication. So does your water board. Dual, this was really an issue of operational paralysis. It wasn't a lack of information. It was a lack of information. It was a too many chefs in the kitchen. No one was let's be very clear, because you and I are always very candid. In an ideal situation, you would have a mayor's comms team who would have handled this. But this is not an ideal situation. There was not a singular point of contact where a person was updating in real time. I'll give you an example, because you know this from Jefferson Parish. We got briefed as a council when about 30 minutes before the public got briefed once per day, including when the hurricane landed. I know from my time as a legislator, that is not acceptable. Even as legislators at a higher level, we were getting briefings on weather and developments every 3 to 5 hours. And one of the things that came up in the meeting yesterday was, why are you holding all information till the briefing once a day? If during that 24-hour period of the hurricane, the 48-hour period, even go wider out, you have information coming out in real time that can help people make decisions in real time. If you know a pump has gone out 1 hour after the briefing, don't brief us the next day that the pump went out. Do it in real time. And really, even with the information in hand, now, part of the pushback we got was, well, we don't want to tell you there's a problem without a solution. Well, that is an asinine position to take. Because, one,
what?
You're only going to report bad things when you've got a solution. If you have a sewer lift plant go out, what you're going to tell us it went out 2 weeks later? Like, no, you tell us when the problem happened. I mean, what people don't get in government sometimes is sometimes it's enough to say we've identified a problem and we're working on it. That actually gives more comfort than I don't know why the water in my street's going down. If people knew, for example, a pump went out and that there were teams on site repairing the pump to get it back in service, then the water rising on your lawn, you're actually less scared because you know there's a plan. If the water is just rising and, for example, like you guys, other folk can't get information why it's rising, then your imagination takes over. And if you know historically that you're an area that floods in low-lying times, that there is 7 inches of rain happening in a very short period of time, your mind starts going to the absolute worst-case scenario, and you don't have any information to tell you different. And, I mean, I'm not saying we had some worst-case scenarios in the city. I mean, there were some pretty significant flooding, power outages, especially to the longer ones in the Carrollton and Gentilly area were unacceptable. One of the big issues, Newell, and this is something like you find in these situations, in New Orleans, the setback for trimming trees is 4 feet. In every other parish, it's 8. And it's something that the Parks and Parkways negotiates with Energy. And in the parts of the city where power did not get back till the end, and that's the Carrollton Gentilly area, it was because of foliage and trees falling on lines.
You don't have to preach to me about that.
That sets me off the rails. So the point we made is well we're going to go direct Park and Parkways to say we're going to make it 8 feet like everybody else. Now, some people were like, we need to bury the power lines. One, even if you want to bury the power lines, let's say we want to go there, that's a multi-year, like 5-10 year process. It's billions of dollars. It doesn't make sense to not cut the trees because you want to bury the power line someday. You cut the trees back now, and in the future, hopefully we bury the power lines. But right now, it's about making sure in the time we have today, throughout this season and future seasons, we may have to trim that oak tree back an extra 4 feet to make sure your neighbors have power. And, I mean, for those people that kind of view the oak tree over the power of their neighborhoods, I'll take your hate mail. It's fine. But when you look at people in Carrollton and Gentilly who had power one day later, actually sometimes 2 days later than everybody else, it was directly because of foliage and power lines, because of the wind.
Absolutely. And we should, by ordinance or otherwise, not allow people to plant trees under utility right-of-ways.
That's another good idea.
You know, I mean, we're still planting trees between the sidewalk and the street. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you know, and we plant trees that grow to 30, 40 feet in height. It's crazy. But, you know, you made an observation, and there's something about organizational culture with what I call information hoarders, right? They believe that they gain more authority, more control, and otherwise, and it runs violative of transparency. Information hoarders are the single most disruptive force to an organizational culture. And unless and until during the course of an event that there's a complete understanding and willingness of all the partners to put out the most current and relevant information real time and eliminate information hoarders. And guess what? I guarantee you, if you had private conversations with the top 35, 40 people that are in that EOC, they're going to tell you who the information hoarder is because they've been equally frustrated by that individual. And the reason you're not getting more updates is they don't want y'all to reveal it to the media and to put it out there. They want to control the flow, but they have a whole different ideology as to what the public has the right to know and when. And until that gets resolved, you're going to continue to have these problems. It doesn't matter how many meetings you have. It requires a knockdown, drag-out, private conversation where this ultimately gets resolved once and for all. And those information hoarders have to be removed. They're not healthy to an organization, never will be healthy to an organization. Your thoughts?
I agree. One of the things I talked about with all the different departments we had yesterday was there needs to be a policy position that we do not have, because what happens basically is that you have people in the administration that get information in real time and they disseminate it to everyone else at the once a day briefing. My position is there needs to be a policy that survives administrations, that this is the playbook during events and that these are the briefings that happen, this is the timeline that happened. And I said, really, if you look at what happens to other parishes, council members really become surrogates because you really can't have the mayor or parish president everywhere. And when everyone has the same information and they're operating off the same information, and let's say you are someone trying to get in contact with Sewage and Water Board and they can't be reached, but the council person, let's say Joe, knows all the information, then the information gets out. That shouldn't be seen as a liability. It's an asset. If everyone has all the information and can speak to it at all times, everyone knows what's going on. And kind of what you saw is you saw a lot of council members giving information out kind of haphazardly as they got it, because they got it haphazardly. And that's not their fault in particular. It's because they were given it in kind of like these weird silos where you get information from one department but not another. And you kind of had to almost Nancy Drew Scooby-Doo it yourself to figure out what the hell the picture was, because you weren't given a clear view of the whole picture. But, I mean, I think the big issue, and that's why I told people at the meeting yesterday it's not over, is we really got a lot of information from departments. We have a lot of comments to go through, a lot of online comments that we're given, a lot of experiences, and we're going to have to establish and change policy going forward in a way that's not discretionary.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, you're right. And as I said, that may take a backroom, knockdown, drag-out debate over this issue. Because I've seen this, and people will tell you, I set out and eliminated information hoarders. In fact, I made the mistake once of doing a workaround in my organization, and I quickly recognized you, Newell Norman, are a dumbass. This is not the way to approach this problem. You need to eliminate the persons that are causing these problems. And the sooner you do that, the better off the organization as a whole is going to be. And that's what I set out to do. And it made all the difference in the world. I mean, you know, because when the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, that organization cannot grow in a healthy fashion ever, right? And it perpetuates itself. And it's when you reach these defining moments and you say, okay, that no more, not doing it. And I guarantee you there are, if y'all survey your folks, you're going to find all kinds of workarounds. they're just not healthy and they're uncertain. It creates a level of uncertainty that becomes really difficult to manage. Especially in the heat of the moment of an event that's throwing nothing but curveballs to you. When you think about a hurricane, right, JP? I mean, it's like going up in the batter's box and you're up against the person in the entire universe that has the best curveball ever, Mother Nature. No one's figured out the curveballs that she can deliver moment by moment.
you're 100% right. And I mean, it's why it's so crucial, and in instances where it works, it's why having everyone operating as a team at the same time is so critical, because you're dealing with an entity, a force of nature, where you can't predict anything.
Yeah, and the only thing that you're certain of is your limitations, because we know going in what the limitations of the system are, right? I mean, how well do we know that, right? So, I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting. Look, this is not unique to New Orleans. This is every organization across the country. There are days where you're going to conduct oneself in an exemplary fashion. You're just going to hit it on every point of that event. And there are other events where you're just going to miss it. And you're going to miss it, and it's typically going to be one, two, or three different individuals that are not following the sheet of music that's been established, which is your SOP, your policy, whatever you want to refer to it as. They've deviated. And the moment they deviate, the whole house of cards and the dominoes start to fall, figuratively speaking, you know, and then you have a problem. I don't envy y'all, because it is one of the most frustrating things in management, and where you don't want it to reveal itself is during the event of a storm, right?
Well, and just remember the extra hurdle, which is that we control the budget, but we don't manage all the partners. And so, right. what's really frustrating, and you know this obviously, is that like the last thing we want to do is to have to use ordinances to make policy. But I'll tell you one thing I've learned in my time, my term as a council person, is it's sometimes safer to legislate common sense just so you make sure that everyone's on the same page, which hopefully we can work it out without doing that, but it's always on the table.
Yeah. I don't know. You got to laugh to keep from crying sometimes. I mean, but
you're
anyway,
right. JP, thank true. You.
Best of luck with this endeavor. Thanks. For certain, and really appreciate you coming on and talking about this. Have a great week.
You too. Thanks, Noel.
All right, that's JP Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large. We will be right back. We'll go to the talk lines. Thoughts about all of this. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.